Welcome to the Longest Stride Podcast. Each week, we bring you engaging conversations with the global running community. We interview community builders and leaders and the incredible runners who inspire us all. We're by runners for runners. And now, here's your hosts, Jonathan Greenwald and Andre Morgan.
Welcome to a new episode of the Longest Stride Podcast. Heather of Cardia recommended this crew. Let's discover who are the founders of this crew together. Welcome Amanda and Kim of Chicks Run the Six.
Welcome, welcome.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Hey, listen, you know, you are highly recommended. And anytime Run the Six is in a name of a crew, we get curious. We want to know what's going on.
Exactly.
So seriously, welcome. And we're really excited to speak to you, find out about kind of Chicks Run the Six. But I think before we even do that, we want to learn a little bit about both you, Kim and Amanda. I know some of your executive team aren't here. We'll kind of get into that a little bit after, but since we do have both of you, maybe Amanda, we'll start with you. We could tell maybe there's a little bit of an accent there. You're not originally from Canada, right?
This is true. This is true. I grew up in Australia and only moved to Toronto 3 years ago.
3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
3 years ago, and you're already starting a run crew.
Okay. Yeah.
Perfect. Awesome. Okay. And a little bit, if you don't mind, about your running journey. Were you running in Australia before you moved to Canada?
Yeah, I was. I feel like my running journey, like it's a few parts, you know, it started in childhood, you know, school athletics and then cross country and ran all the way through high school and then went off to university and kind of, you know, I still went for a couple of runs, but definitely got more into the university lifestyle. And then, you know, but I always ran when I started working and that kind of thing. Running was always my go-to as far as like my exercise of choice.
Yeah, and that's interesting. It's so similar no matter where you're from, with maybe school as athletic. And then you probably did take a big gap before you got back into running as recreational means.
Yeah, definitely. I kind of stopped then, I guess. Like I got married. I had some, you know, issues with fertility and fertility treatments and things like that. So I was encouraged to, you know, cut down on the running, go to like the yoga and the walking and I think it just sort of slowly fell off my routine and sort of didn't become part of my life again until after I had my first son and I developed symptoms of postpartum and, you know, went to my doctor after a really long time of encouragement from my mom and my sister and my husband of like, you know, you're not yourself anymore. You know, go and see someone. And my doctor, part of her prescription for me was you need to go back to what you love. And, you know, you've talked about running. So what I want to see as part of your treatment is that you start running again. So that was how it got back started for me is that to do something for myself. I got out the pram or stroller, as you guys call it, and put in there the little one-year-old that wouldn't sleep and off we went.
I'm just curious, Amanda, where in Australia were you?
So I've moved around a little bit. I grew up in a place called Coffs Harbour, which is like a little beach town, which is kind of just a little bit south of Byron Bay. But then we sort of moved around with my husband's work to different capital cities. But yeah, we moved recently, most recently from Brisbane. So that's in Queensland where it's always hot.
My friend Robin lives in Perth.
And it's
always like 275 degrees. And I always make fun of her because they go through like winter, which is like 2 days where it gets to like 25 degrees. And then it goes right back up. And it's just amazing. I mean, we all come from different parts of the world and we all run in whatever it is, but it's just curious on kind of what that experience is like.
Oh, like the change, you mean? Like moving over here and having to deal with weather?
Yeah, basically.
So, that's a massive change. I think, Queensland, like I said, it's pretty much compared to Toronto, it's basically summer all year round. We have a couple of days, those days you were talking about, where it's like 20, maybe a little bit below. And everyone's like, oh, I don't think I can go for a run. I'm going to have to pull out the long tights and the jacket. And so moving here, it was like my very first run. It was like the day after I landed and I thought, if I go for a run, that'll get rid of the jet lag. I'll, you know, get a lay of the land of where everything is. And I went outside and I literally couldn't breathe. The air was so cold. And I just went home and said to my husband, I was like, I guess I'm not running while we live here in Toronto. I'm going to pick it back up again when we go home.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was a shell shock for sure.
Yeah, you've moved to two different extremes from obviously super hot and now super cold. And I'm sure the past week has been a testament to how cold it could get in Canada.
Oh, for sure. It's yeah. So we moved at the start of March. So it was the end of the Australian summer and sort of obvious guess the tail end of Toronto winter. And we worked out it was, I think, 40 or 50 degrees difference, like Celsius degrees difference from when we left in the plane to when we landed.
Yeah, I can't even understand that. It's like it's like a few hours, your body went into shock. Like, what's going on there? And so, Kim, you grew up in Canada, I'm assuming.
I didn't, actually.
So I'll ask it again. So, yeah. Kim, let's hear about how you grew up and your running journey. And don't worry, we'll make sure we get a gamut of information from you.
No worries. I was born in Toronto and left when I was 3 and grew up in the States in Atlanta, Georgia. Oh. And I left there after 9/11. And I decided to come, well, I traveled quite a bit. And then I decided to ultimately start my life in Toronto. So that was, I guess, about 15, 16 years ago, because family was still here, et cetera, et cetera. I ran in Atlanta in that heat. I missed that heat so much. And then I've also like lived in Ottawa, which has really wonderful trails and stuff like that. I started my kind of running journey in high school, which was very casual, like just for fun, just for kind of fitness, and carried through kind of off and on throughout my 20s and early 30s. And then I started back up because of Amanda, actually, in September.
Yeah, so obviously there was a massive, I think the gap, you mentioned high school and you kind of did it on and off. And then high school, obviously, was that in Atlanta or was that here? I just want to get an idea on like running scene there.
Yeah, that was, so I went to high school in Atlanta and the running scene there, you know, it's beautiful. It's really hilly and hot. So the feeling that I got after the runs actually are very similar to the way they are in Toronto, maybe in like the hot of August, you know, where it's sticky, it's sweaty, but you feel so great after that shower. It really is a very different climate, but it's a very different feel.
One extreme to the next. It's amazing.
Yes. Yes,
you guys
exactly.
All moved to Toronto, snow, cold, winter warriors. It's it's amazing.
Just wondering, obviously you mentioned Atlanta, and did you do any kind of races there? Similar to we have Scotiabank and stuff like that. What would have been the hallmark race that's in Atlanta?
That's a great question. It's actually called the Peachtree Road Race.
Yep.
And it is amazing. It's on July 4th. The atmosphere is absolutely brilliant. The night after, there's this huge fireworks display, and it's very much like, I would say like the Sporting Life 10K, in the sense that it's, you know, you have groups of people who've been running for their lifetime. There have been people that just want to do it because it's like the quintessential thing to do in Atlanta on July 4th. Bibs sell out, I want to say, like 6 months prior to the event, and people sell them online for more money because this race is so coveted. So it's really wonderful because of the July 4th aspect and because like the atmosphere is just amazing.
And a lot of elites run that one.
Yeah. There's definitely different groups of people who run it, and you can definitely tell when you're there and you find your tribe, you know? But yeah, like it's a great race because it's also really beautiful as well.
Oh, wow. And did you say you just started running again in September?
Yeah. I mean, I'm in my early 40s. And so, running in high school was a really long time for me. But yeah, like I basically took about, I would say 8 years off because of kids. I just found that I couldn't really find the time. I found that my body changed so much. And I felt like it was going to like hurt in a way. I didn't feel as strong as I did before. And I think it was also just really scared to start. And yeah, I just started up again in September.
I'm sorry. Did you say why you started again?
Yeah. So I had a pretty devastating thing happen to my family. So my mom and my two sisters passed away in the last few years. And in fact, I just lost my sisters in the last year. They all had a gene that gave them kind of a higher chance of cancer. So I've lost kind of my family tribe, so to speak. And that was really, really hard for me. I was taking care of them. And I luckily don't have the gene, but I was finding it really hard to sort of figure out how to sort of get back on track. And, you know, obviously my doctor also recommended that I start to run every day as a mental health exercise. And it just sort of gave me something to look forward to. I had also a bit of anxiety around, you know, even though I don't have the gene, I'm really afraid I'm going to get sick because the chances must be high, you know, but my doctor said, like, listen, this is, you don't have the gene, just keep yourself healthy as much as you can and keep going. But Amanda was the person who really, it started out with her offering kind of 30-minute workouts with her in the park. And it just provided like a really beautiful atmosphere. And I thought, you know, one day she is going to ask me to go for a run. And I've got to say yes. I'm too afraid to say no. And then we just started. And she ran, I want to say it was like 5K. And then it wasn't too long after that we ran a 10K together. And I decided to record myself on the time so that I could compare and contrast kind of where I was. And yeah, I'll never forget it. I ran a 10K in an hour 16. And then within, I think, a few weeks, I had whittled it down to, I think, you know, just over an hour or something like that. And so it gave me something to look forward to, work towards, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's amazing. Just like how grassroots it started, meaning there was no bells, no whistle. It was just like, hey, just come work out with me at the park for 5-10 minutes. And just that small step got you to know you're a runner again.
Yeah, you couldn't pay me to run in the winter. Like, you just could not pay me. And I think what Amanda gave to me is a lot about how all the members of Chicks Run the Six actually want to give to others once they experience it. And it's really about sociability. It's about a cheerleader. It's about someone who's going to support you. And Amanda, I mean, she runs so much. And I was so worried that she was going to get bored running with me because I was so slow. And she just took my pace and kept me company and I didn't feel as if she wanted to run faster. She just literally kind of almost like held my hand, so to speak, on these runs. And it felt so good. And then in turn, I decided to do the same thing with, you know, a member in our group who literally told herself, like, there's no way I'm running more than 5K. And so we've been running, we have to socially distance run, but not so much now, but, you know, months ago we were running together and she ran her first 10K with me. So it really, like, you get addicted to the feeling and you want to pay it forward and, you know, you want to have other people feel the way that Amanda made me feel.
I was just about to kind of segue into Chicks Run to Six, but I don't think I want to, or we want to kind of just breeze over your story. It's like what you went through is absolutely, wow, no words. So just really quick, like, are you finding running as meditative and it's like a place you can go to kind of just be yourself, be by yourself and kind of like just meditate?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's just so many emotions that I feel throughout the day or throughout the week or whatnot. And, you know, with this pandemic and with having young kids at home, I feel like it's carving out an hour plus time for myself. And I can always guarantee afterwards that serotonin just gives me the best boost and gives me the best feeling, that, you know, there's all sorts of wonderful things that happen as a result. So I need it definitely from a meditative perspective to be by myself, to work towards something and to realize I'm doing something good for my body. And the social aspect, I mean, I remember the first time I had a PB and I couldn't wait to get on to the group and tell everybody what I did. I was so excited. I didn't text my husband. I texted the group and I was like, you know, screenshotted my time because my goal is under an hour for a 10K. And I think I got like, I think it was an hour and 2 minutes or something like that. And I was just so excited. And so those kinds of things that bring me joy, you know, and create some happiness. Not that I'm like lacking happiness. I'm actually a pretty jovial person, but you know, it's those like true things that give you that burst of this positive energy that became the addiction.
Wow. Okay. Let's pick it up a little bit. let's talk about just two of you here. And I think there might be more I mentioned earlier, but maybe Amanda will let you take this question. And then maybe Kim, you can kind of help us out, fill in the blanks. What was the genesis of Chicks Run to Six?
Yeah, so we really just started out a couple of moms and friends working out in the park. And like Kim said, I, you know, quickly went to what I love, back to the running, and said, suggested that we go out for a couple of runs. And the girls fortunately went along with the plan, and, you know, one run became two runs, and we, you know, we made them fun and made them, you know, locations and take a couple of pics. And the girls decided that we needed an Instagram to put these pictures up there. And we just decided from the first pic that, you know, we'd say, tag us in your runs, and, you know, we want to cheer you on as well. So we knew we needed a name, and Chantelle, I think it was that marketing background, she's like, well, we're Chicks Running the Six, so we should be called Chicks Run the Six. So that was the name, and that was the tag. So from that first call out, we just had one girl pick it up and then share it with her running crew, and it just became, it became a thing, Chicks Running the Six.
I remember when we were talking to Heather, and we're asking her who we should speak to, and she's trying to figure out your name, and she's like, run the six. And I was so confused, like, what? Run the six. And then we found your profiles, like, what is this? What is going on here? It's an awesome name. It's pretty catchy. So kudos on that.
Thank you. I was my concern. I did say to the girls, I was like, you don't know this, but there is a guy, Run the Six. And they're like, well, he can be Chicks Run the Six.
And so Run the Six is Angels. That was taken? Or it wasn't available, right? Okay. Just
nice.
Yeah, Jonathan doesn't own the six, so it's all you. Part exactly. of it is like, I'm still happy that you were able to,
yeah,
just by inviting your neighbor, just one person, just let's just start doing a thing. And then it just multiplied into now a formal group with an Instagram account. And you did mention the fact that you're going on take photos as something to hang on to, or just something to utilize to discover different parts of the city. And there was a video that you shot in Distillery District to show us where the idea started. What was the significance?
It was literally one of the moms, her son went to daycare there, and she's like, there's a sign there and it says love. And it's like, It's what we're doing. It's like, let's share the love, our love of the run and what it's done for us. So let's go there and do some, you know, fun pictures. We're just going to, like, you know, do a couple of jump shots, run by. And yeah, it just felt right. It felt like this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to share with other women out there that, you know, you can love running and what it can do for your life.
I think one of the other things that really motivated us in the beginning, at least in sort of in the infancy of the group, is that we got so excited about going to find like a quintessential picture of Toronto. And so our whole goal was like, let's run to this and then do a jump shot or get a funny photo or get a some kind of picture that we could put on Insta. So we have actually some really funny like Halloween pictures. We got dressed up with that. And so our motivation was really to get this fun photo or, you know, go to that fun place in Toronto. And I think that really helped to motivate everybody and create a bit of fun.
Yeah, I loved it. I was actually checking out earlier, just kind of scrolling back to see kind of when you guys started. And yes, it was definitely a lot of fun. And even the next post where you all trying to jump in front of that dollhouse was pretty wild. But why don't we talk about your crewmates? It's not just you, Kim, not just you, Amanda. You have two other members of the team. You want to kind of tell us who they are?
Yeah, I'll go. So Chantelle Chiarelli, who I believe has a similar story to me with respect to the running journey. Like, I think she's run like kind of on and off. And Shazia Banduk, and she, I think, really got into running. She got into a lot of exercise after her second baby. She looks amazing. They both do. They all do, actually. And so she, yeah, just got really motivated into finding the time during the day to run. Shazia is a lawyer. Chantelle is a marketer. And I think that the big aha moment was that some of the, you know, the great parts of the pandemic actually allow you to do these things. And she was commenting, Shazia was commenting before, that if it weren't for the pandemic, she wouldn't have time to run. She just wouldn't, you know, it'd be too chaotic during the day and the routines of getting kids to bed and, you know, catching up on the weekends. And so it was really born out of the fact that we had a bit of time to squeeze it into the day. And now everybody sort of will find time like in the morning or whatnot. But yeah, they're two very sort of vivacious, positive cheerleaders as a part of our squad.
Yeah, I'm happy there is a women's run club. There's one other one that we know of, but it's not necessarily just a continuation of just having a feel-good run club to do activities like taking photos and stuff like that. And obviously, the name has formed from just the people that showed up and the connections with others. So that's essentially why it's a women's run club, right? And then nothing I'm saying is to say anything negative towards that. I just wanted to get an idea on creating that space itself and what was the vision of the club creating that space.
Yeah, I think, like you say, like the fact that we were all, you know, friends and happened to be four women, but also too early on, especially when we're thinking of the name, you know, we went around with like, oh, we live in Riverdale, and it was like, oh, is it, you know, Riverdale Moms? And then one thing that became really clear with the four of us and that resonated was that it's like, you know what, when I'm running, I'm not just a mom, I'm me, like that's my me time. So it was like, you know, other women, you know, whether they're moms or not moms, need to make that time and that space for themselves. So we really wanted it to focus around empowering other women and even the work that we're wanting to do with charities and supporting the community, making it a women focused, like a women focused group, and you know, giving back in the same way.
So when you started this, when you all started this, it was born out of getting a couple of women together, going for runs, meeting up. I loved running. I'll say loved running with one another. Started this crew. Then you started the hashtag Chicks Run to Six. Were you anticipating or expecting the community, I guess, to kind of rally behind it and almost feel like they're part of kind of Chicks Run to Six? Because I scroll through even the hashtag and you see ladies like Gina and others who are people I know and are really fabrics of the Toronto running community, all hashtagging Chicks Run to Six. And was that organic? Did you guys plan that? What was the thoughts behind that?
It definitely wasn't planned as far as like, you know, we'll do this and everyone will follow. But I was a member of, and I still am, I guess, by de facto, still a member of an amazing group in Australia called Running Mums Australia. And it is all mums. So that was one thing that I wanted to change, and we all collectively wanted to change to include all women and their journeys. But I'm part of this group, Running Mums Australia, and it's a huge group. I think it's around 60,000 women now in Australia that will use the hashtag Running Mums Australia. And that's what got me started again. So I started obviously with my baby in the stroller, but then when my kids started school, one of the moms that was a Running Mums Australia mom said, oh, we've seen you running, come with us. And my journey really took off after that. That was when races returned, races became marathons. And my journey and what I was able to achieve through that group and just their belief and support in me was something that I looked for when I came to Toronto. And not something I could find. I could find run crews, amazing run crews with a lot of support, but not that social first and support and love first. It was running, and yes, all the community factor came with it, but Running Mums Australia and what we hope the Chicks Run the Six will be is community first. And, you know, we share that love of running, and that's how we do our connection, but the connection is the community.
Yeah, I agree with Amanda. I mean, we were spurred on by such a wonderful feeling after all of our runs. And there was such a, I think, a confidence boost. I mean, we were all very much in the same stage and age of our life, that we just wanted to spread that feeling. And I know that when we were running a couple of times, we would see one or two moms that I think knew who we were and were interested and keen on running with us. And we'd invite them to run with us, but they were just a bit intimidated. So our kind of mission was really to just give women of any age this like approachable, social, supportive, and non-competitive community that builds on their confidence and creates a belonging for anybody who wants to be a part of it. and obviously enables a social dialogue online, and we encourage each other. And we also obviously promote an active and fun physical lifestyle. But I kind of say sometimes that we're a social group first that runs because of how connected we are. And we're, you know, we're constantly talking about how we can't wait to meet people in real life. And the reach of the group has actually really been quite surprising. We are a quote unquote sixth or Toronto group, but I think one of our, you know, biggest fans is in Barrie, Nadia, and she's such an engaged member of our community, and we all cannot wait to meet her. And then we have somebody who is a Canadian but living in England who's wanting to participate but not sure how. And so it's really interesting to see how the reach has really expanded. And I know actually another one of our runners is in Guelph who's very engaged. So yeah, it's just been really interesting to see the growth rate of the group and to realize that this is a white space and that there is a need to have this kind of non-competitive, very like positive community where everyone is at their own pace.
Yeah, and that's impressive because it could have been just an idea and then you kind of, you know, pass it on and not necessarily formulate that you can enter the space. So you've seen that there was a gap and turn it into a niche, or it is already a niche, and just kind of create the space you want to be in without it being competitive, but also, as Amanda said it, and just what we're driving off here, Kim, is the idea of that I'm a woman first, and I just, maybe that's good enough, and then I'll create a group just being a woman. But the charity components and stuff like that, is that like the other approach now to utilize this group of individuals to do good?
Yeah, for sure. It's something that's important to us four. We're involved heavily in our local community, whether it be the school with, you know, Kim and Chantel and Shazir and I as well. But we just thought being able to run for good and, you know, those kilometers to mean something and to be able to give back and make a difference would be amazing. We did something at Christmas time around baskets for missions and for shelters that were going to be given out. And that went really well. And everyone really liked that idea. So we decided moving forward into 2021 that we would have a focused group in, you know, to give back to women. So the charity 12 donations that also helps out missions and shelters with menstrual products. So with Endurance Tap, we became change makers, and that was our charity of choice. So we can support them and get money into their hands so that they can get the products to the people that need them.
That's great. And I like that you're really thinking through all this stuff. And just circling back real quick on kind of the women aspect, we spoke with Fatma recently about a woman's run. We spoke with Sasha about the work she does with Wazow and Female First. And does this, and I'm not going to use the word movement, even though I just did, but there's this almost like a need or this feeling of these spaces, and I'm not even saying it right, but just having these women run clubs or these women groups, it's a place that other women runners can easily gravitate to and feel like with everything else going on kind of in the world and even what it's like to be a woman runner and sometimes the challenges, safety and stuff like that come along with it. It's remarkable that you think to create this space. And, you know, I was like kind of looking through, and I know Parkdale used to have a ladies run. We did talk to Fatma, and I'm trying to think off the top of my head, like how many other women crews there are, but it's almost like there aren't enough sometimes, right? There's so many opportunities to have these amazing spaces to empower each other, to uplift each other and provide that safe space that you can all feel like, you know, I can run with someone that kind of gets me, that understands me. And I know, you know, we just talk about charity and that's just another great aspect to it, but just even creating the space, I think is something that is absolutely remarkable.
I agree. And I think that one of the insights that we've gleaned off of a lot of the women that have joined is that there's this term, like, you know, somebody actually on my street said, "Oh, I didn't realize you were a runner." And it kind of it got to me in a way that was a little bit offensive, because I'm not a stick skinny person. I would say I'm average, but I'm maybe a bit fluffy. And but I'm a very athletic person. Like, I've played, you know, tennis in my past. I've swam. I've done rugby. You know, I'm an active person. And I think sometimes a lot of these women kind of felt like a barrier of some kind of barrier of a reason why they couldn't start. Or if some of the women said, like, oh, you know, I would say, like, you're a runner now. And they're like, oh, I'm not a runner. No, I just run for fun. And so I think what was interesting about this is that I feel like there was a confidence issue, you know, like, for some odd reason, like, there was just like, oh, I don't want to run with you guys because you're going to be too fast. Or, you know, I don't want to have the pressure to keep up, or whatever that was, that they just didn't feel for some reason like they belonged in this running space. And so I think that's what's really great about our space, is that it's just about lacing up. That's it. It's just about lacing up and celebrating what you've done. You know, everyone belongs, everyone's a runner. Yeah. And I feel like there's so many people that need this and want this, and to know that it's like, no one's going to judge you. Nobody's competing. It's just about going outside and doing your best.
It's really well said, Kim. And it's remarkable that we still have to have these conversations of, like, what a runner looks like and what is running. I mean, it's maybe a little bit time to get real with ourselves about this, because this space is for absolutely everybody. Whatever it is that you're into, there's a space. And the fact that, you know, there are people out there that still have to look at somebody and say, you know, you're not a runner, who that person probably isn't, may not even be a runner themselves. Like, what do they even know? So it's just remarkable that we still have to have these conversations. It's also a little frustrating that we have to still have these conversations, but that's a great thing about, and again, I must talk about social media like every episode, but for the bad that comes along with it, there's the great, and that Chicks Run a Six hashtag, and, you know, what you're posting on the page, it provides that space where people, like you've said earlier, people look at that space and say, oh, wait a second, I can run, I can do exactly what they're doing. Like, what's the problem here? And then they go out and go for a run, or they might join you. And I think that's what we need to see more of, that kind of stuff. And I just love that you all created this space. Maybe you weren't thinking necessarily about getting all the women, you know, to join you, but I think that's the movement that's starting, and I think it's fantastic.
Thanks. I think also one of the things that's been a real driving aspect is just this idea of sparking joy. And one of the reasons why pink is actually a really important color is because we, in the beginning, Amanda made these hoodies for us, and we would always run in them. And then Chantel bought us these hot pink toques. And then a few of us bought some hot pink shoes and stuff. And so it's interesting how I think some women are like, what is that pink thing? You know, are you one of those runners with the pink thing, is what we've heard about. And it's the perfect segue to introducing what it is, because it's, you know, it's obviously so bright, and there's quite a few of us within the same neighborhood that have the same kind of running uniform, so to speak. And so it's really, it brightens people's day, and then they say, what is this? You know, and so it's the perfect kind of segue into talking about it, and even inviting somebody who might be curious about it.
Yeah, that's totally a marketing move right there. It you're normalizing that space. That's what it is. So it's almost as if you hadn't seen this done before. That's why you might get comments of dissent, where it's like, hey, I didn't know this happened, or the negative stuff. And sometimes people don't think before they say a thing, right? So I don't think it's a thing that would have discouraged anyone to stop running. But also, I believe what you're doing here is re-educating any women in the space that wants to get into running, even later when they felt like they can't do it anymore. So I think the re-education by just doing the runs, or even having a crew, helps others understand that they can. So that's, I think, the biggest thing you take away from it. But with the pink sweater, as I said, it's such a marketing move, but at the same time, that just came naturally to show that, hey, we could be who we are and be in this space as well. So I love that component, because there are other spaces too where you mix it with something else and it seems like, oh, it's not supposed to be there, but really it's not for you. But keep it going. And kudos to, you know, Amanda and Kim and everyone else that are part of the exec team that started this, because it's necessary. The other crew that Jonathan was alluding to is Philson in Vancouver that started Project Love Run. So we could count on fingers, and we shouldn't be able to count on fingers the amount of crews that are our female focused crews. And it should be allowed, because you're guy focused crews for everything.
No, I totally agree. I love the sweaters too. I'm just wondering if they come in a men's medium.
Absolutely.
Okay. The other funny thing is, you know, you guys are all wearing the socks too. And you guys are a little commenting on Instagram recently when we wore the same socks. So I feel like I'm already part of Chicks Run the Six. And definitely men's medium. I'm just kidding. So what are you thinking next about this? Dre mentioned a charity bit. There's a lot of, I mean, I know right now we can't really run together, and we shouldn't be running together, but what happens when things ease up, restrictions ease up, and you can all start running together? Where do you want to take this next?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very COVID dependent, but you know, we're making the best of the situation, and we're doing challenges within our group. So this month we're doing Chicks Run the Six. So we calculated the streets and roads, the total distance, and it's over 5,000, nearly 6,000 kilometers. So as a group collective, we're all just doing our runs, and then at the end of every week, logging the kilometers to reach that goal together. And it's just that feeling that you're not out there just doing kilometers for no reason, or no one will notice. It's feeling like you're part of something. And then, you know, everyone logs in secret on a Sunday night, and then on Tuesday we tally the results and put them out there. So it's something that can bring us together. We're hoping, obviously, that once the restrictions are eased, that these things will become real life events. So, you know, group runs to celebrate holidays, or a group run to support our charity, or hopefully once events are up and running, you know, cheer stations or tents at the finish line. So it's a place to have that connection, and a place for women that maybe aren't already Chicks Run the Six to think, what are all those women doing over there in the pink? And they seem to be all having fun and, you know, taking care of each other and cheering each other on. I want to know what that's about. And, you know, they seem like people just like me that are having fun on the run. So I think, getting more of that visibility in the community, in races, in events would be amazing.
I think that we'd love to kind of create and curate, sort of road trips to Niagara for a run, or Ottawa or Montreal or something like that, and kind of be there for everybody to experience like the firsts in a lot of things. There's a lot of women in our group who run a lot, but they might not have experienced a race before. And so we would love to eventually, when we can, create an opportunity for us to all come together in real life and experience a weekend together where we're all coming together for the same goal and to experience the same thing. Yeah, and just make a weekend out of it.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the flags and the banners and the cheer stations, and it's gonna be really exciting. Could Dre and I join you guys for a run?
Yes.
I was super serious, actually.
The husbands definitely talk about, is there like a Dudes Run the Six chapter or the Kids Run the Six chapter? And we've definitely talked about lots of that stuff. Or you guys just dress up in pink, it's fine.
Oh, I'm totally there for it.
You know what you should do? You should make all the males crew you all on a run. That's really what it should be. Just flip the switch on it.
Yes.
So we run. Cool. No. We're the one handing out water, bananas, like flip the script on it. And it's a women only crit. It's a women only race. It doesn't have to be a race, but the idea of it is to change the script and the narrative around who should be doing the support. And I'm game.
Who makes this shirt? It's like run none of the miles, watch all the kids, or something like that. Sarah Marie Design.
Sarah, yes, I love her. Yeah.
So yeah, that's a total definitely shirt that the husbands could wear.
Love it.
Oh, that's awesome. So what's happening with, I guess, your individual goals? Like, Kim, what are you thinking? You're breaking an hour in the 10K?
I want to break under 30 minutes for a 5K. And then my big goal is I guess no, my medium goal is to get under an hour for 10K, but then my ultimate goal is, like, my big goal is to do my first half.
Nice.
I've never done a half before, and yeah, I can't wait to be able to do that. I'd love to be able to do it in real life versus virtually, because I just love the sense
in real life.
Yeah, you know, I love the feeling of, you know, what a group of runners with something like that does to me. Like, it just, I feel like it makes me go faster. It keeps me going. I get distracted with certain things, and it just helps me along. But yeah, that's my big, hairy, audacious goal.
That's amazing. Well, if you ever need a pacers, you let us know.
Thanks.
What about you, Amanda?
Yeah, just backing onto what Kim said, there is definitely a solid crew building for a spring Chicks Run the Six first half marathon. The amount of women that jump on there and say, I've been running for this long, or I've just got back into running, but I've never run a half marathon, would be, how many, Kim? Like, I feel like 20, 50, I don't know. Every second person says, I just want to run a half, and I want to run it in real life in the spring. So
yes,
that's definitely the goal. And I have volunteered absolutely to be the pacer, but now we have Jonathan and I'm assuming Dre, we've got two pacers already. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah. But I might need you, because my goal is I'm chasing the other six, the world
majors.
Oh
yes.
Yeah.
What
so
do you
I have two. And the BQ is the one, obviously, that's the scary one for me. And, yeah, it was going to be last year, then it was going to be 2021, but I'm really not sure without these real races what to do and how to train. But yeah, that's definitely the goal. And then ticking off those other majors, that's where my heart lies in the goal perspective.
We're super excited for you, ladies. We can't wait to see you crush it.
Yeah, totally have a cheer squad on this side. I'm listening to all the goals, and it's all possible, especially doing your first half. That's just going to, like, change everything for you, because you're like, yeah, I ran this far. It's going to just, like, half is going to be your new 10K. You know what I mean? So you just shift registry, and then we don't even talk about running anymore, because you'll just be telling us about running. It'll be amazing. You just flip the script out, and it's awesome to see that you gone beyond this scenario where, like, we can't, because as I said, it's this crew educating others that they can, especially people that are in the same gender or just the idea of someone that don't think they can, and you're educating them that they can by going through it yourself, and you have more to say then. And I think, yeah, you have totally a cheer squad from this, and Jonathan and I. It doesn't have to be pacers. Like, we don't have to get involved like that. It's really just, we just want to come out and cheer, especially when it comes to that race that you want. Just have someone yelling on the side for it.
I can yell. I can yell.
Totally yell.
That's awesome.
So I want to thank both of you, Amanda and Kim, for coming on. And also, really appreciate you sharing your personal stories, your personal journeys, because that resonates with others that yep. might not, we don't know ourselves, that be going through the same exact thing. So putting yourself out there, making yourself vulnerable, hopefully helps someone else to understand that they're not alone going through this. And just being vulnerable yourself to be able to share that, really, really appreciate that. Yeah,
awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks for
that.
Yeah, thanks for giving us the opportunity to chat with you guys.
No problem. Absolutely. No problem. We can't wait to see those sweaters. Thank you so much. And with that said, this is The Longest Stride. Peace.
Peace. Where's your peace, Jonathan? Where's your peace?
Peace, peace, peace.
I know, like, it's just like, killed it. All good.